Welcome to Arkansas Cooks. This is your host, Mary Tweed, and I'm here to meet and eat with Arkansas cooks, and then I tell you all about it. Arkansas now has a food and farm guide. What a deal. Don't go away, you're listening to Arkansas Cooks. Good afternoon, I am Mary Tweed, and you are listening to Arkansas Cooks. For the past 3 weeks, I've highlighted a local farm. It's really a young farm, and it needs support from local markets to really maintain itself. Now, you may remember Michael Roberts. He did actually host a couple of Arkansas Cooks for me, and he did a great job. And he is so busy with the food blog and with writing, food writing actually, that he had to give that up. And I was able to catch up with him because he is now a big-time food writer for a brand new publication called Arkansas Food and Farm Magazine. He is the associate editor, and it is put out by Arkansas Times Publishing. I was able to sit down with Michael and talk to him about this brand new publication, Arkansas Food and Farm. So we're having morning coffee right now, and I'm sitting here with Michael Roberts. Used to be a guest interviewer for me, but he is now deep into Arkansas food and farm, and he's still blogging with the Arkansas Foodies.
Yeah, we splitting time with Arkansas Foodies, Eat Arkansas with the Arkansas Times, and now the Arkansas Times is publishing a new magazine called Arkansas Food and Farm. What our goal is with that, it's kind of a passion project. Alan Leverett and Rebecca Harden, our publishers, have been just over the top happy about this project. And it's a new magazine coming out. We're going to be listing farmers markets, farmers, CSAs, that's community supported agriculture, where you get a box of food as a subscription. Restaurants that use local products, grocery stores that sell local products. We're trying to bring all that together in one publication so that all of Arkansas knows what a wealth of local sustainable agriculture really exists in the state.
Yeah, you know, I think people don't recognize how rural Arkansas is, but also how farm rich we are, and there's lots of small farms all over central Arkansas.
Arkansas is really a place where the family farm, I know a lot of people that you read about and hear about the family farm as a dying breed, and Arkansas is really a place where the family farm is still a very strong cornerstone of so many communities. Unfortunately, they don't get any press. Nobody talks about the local farmer who's maybe selling tomatoes at his local farmer's market. We want to change that. Yeah. We want to bring that small sustainable farmer to the forefront. We want to put his face on the cover of a magazine. We want to write a feature story about him. One of the ones that I'm featuring here is a guy named Josh Harden, who runs Laughing Stock Farms in Sheridan. He also splits time with his family farm, Harden Farms in Grady. He took a plot of land in Sheridan that was full of sweet gum trees. He cleared it himself. He built up the soil, and now he's growing one of the most diverse sets of crops around. And people know Laughing Stock. His name is on menus all around Little Rock. And that's the kind of farmer that we want to talk about. And we want to get those restaurants to put more farmers on their menus for the different things, whether it's meat, whether it's I've got everybody in here from meat growers to vegetable growers to Christmas tree farms and people who do organic hay. So if you want a locally grown product, this magazine will be the place to find it.
You know, one of the things I've recognized, Michael, is that there are people think of farmers as old guys that sit around a co-op, but these are young farmers.
Yes, these are, and it's all age ranges. And another one of the farmers that we'll be profiling is a guy named Mark Kane. He runs Dripping Springs Gardens in Northwest Arkansas. He's been in the game of organic farming in Arkansas since 1984. The Fayetteville Farmers Market, which is one of our oldest farmers markets, started in the early 70s. He's been selling there since the early 80s and doing organic growing before it kind of became the trendy thing to do. So he's an older gentleman who's still doing this sustainable farming. And you got Josh, who's a younger guy, and all in between. There's no one type. There's no one personality. And that's been the real joy of doing this, is learning all the rainbow colors of who we have and what they're growing. It's just been fantastic.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that I think has been so exciting, even in the last 10 years since I've been doing this show, is the growth of local farms, local food, local produce, in restaurants, in grocery stores. You know, when I started, there was really one, maybe two farmers markets. There's now how many in Little Rock?
I think in Little Rock, I'm not sure how many we'll have this year, because it seems like every year we have more. I think, I know Hillcrest does one, South Main does one, Argenta does one. There's the big one in the River Market. They do one at the Promenade in Chenal. Has a small Westover Hills at the Presbyterian Church does one, and they may do one this year too. Yeah. So we may be talking 6-7 farmers markets.
Well, in big cities too, every neighborhood has a farmers market.
Right, right. So. And in addition to the ones here, just here in Little Rock, nearly every small town has a farmers market now. I grew up in Arkadelphia. They have a farmers market now. When I was a kid, I couldn't imagine that they would, but they have one now. The goal is to get this magazine in every one of those farmers markets, so that for free, so that if you go to a farmers market, you'll see Arkansas Food and Farm. You can pick it up and flip through it. If you're a chef and you're looking for fresh produce to put on your menu, you can get Arkansas Food and Farm. You can find these people growing beautiful stuff, just beautiful vegetables.
Yeah, and you know, I think what happens in the restaurants, then it stays fresh, it stays, you know, there's lots of flavor, there's lots of, you know, different things are changing. It's not, I think that the unique thing is we don't have a bunch of people buying frozen food and fixing it, you know, we don't have a bunch of Applebee's.
Yeah, flavor is the key and freshness is the second key. And I think our food revolution here in Arkansas is just because people want to taste good food. I think a lot of people grew up, I know I did, with families that had family gardens.
Right.
So people know what good fresh vegetables taste like. People grew up around livestock. They know what good fresh meat tastes like.
Right.
They go out to eat. They spend all this money, and they don't get that, and they say, things don't taste as good as they did when I was a kid. Well, it's because it's not fresh.
Right.
Now we have restaurants where the food tastes as good as it tasted when you were a kid, because they're using fresh local stuff. I always tell people that say, well, the farmer's market's too expensive. I tell them, look at kind of the big picture of it. If you buy a piece of fruit or a vegetable from a farmer's market, it's been picked at its peak of freshness. That piece of fruit or that vegetable is going to stay in your fridge fresh a little bit longer than something at the store that maybe took 2 weeks to get there, because it is picked just at the right time. And you're stretching your dollar in a lot of ways further, because you're getting vegetables that are picked at the right time. They aren't artificially ripened like a lot of the commercial stuff is.
Well, and so do you see, when the farms that you're looking at, are they mostly organic, or are they, you know, what are you learning about farms out there?
Truly organic is an official term. And that's
right.
Something that the USDA governs and has since, I believe, 2002. So a lot of the farms are certified organic. What that means is you can't just slap that name willy-nilly on anything.
Right.
There's a whole list of things that you have to accomplish to become certified organic, as far as the fertilizers that you use, the pesticide, the way you control pests, not pesticides, but the way you control pests, the way you control weeds. And there's a lot of paperwork that goes into that. And every year you have an inspector that comes out, looks at your paperwork, tests your soil, and tests your farm. We do have a lot of them. Josh is certified organic at Laughing Stock. Mark Kane at Dripping Springs is certified organic and has been for many years. You also have a lot of people that maybe their operation isn't big enough to make all that economically feasible, but they do what we call organic practices. They may not use pesticide. They may not use a chemical fertilizer. They may do a lot of the things that go into making an organic product. They just are not to the point where it's economically feasible to get with the government. So we make that distinction in the magazine. But if somebody says, I grow meat that's antibiotic-free and hormone-free, we make sure to say that. If they say it's pesticide-free, chemical-free, we make sure to say it, even if they don't have that nice label.
Right, or free-range chickens is another
right.
thing. And
right.
eggs, you know, so you've got someone who's, and lots of people now, even in the city, are doing chickens and eggs.
Yeah. Urban chicken farming is kind of become the hip trendy thing lately.
Crazy,
I think it's great, because there's nothing better than those bright orange, dark egg yolks from a fresh egg, you know.
Matter of fact, I got from Kate Rose the other day, I got a turkey egg.
Really?
She said they're even better.
I've never tried that.
Yeah,
I've
and
never...
they're $2 a piece. I was
but they're huge, right?
Cow. Yeah. I can't wait. I haven't eaten it yet.
I've never cooked with them. We did some duck eggs.
Yeah, now, and those are big right now,
and
too.
And those are good, but I haven't never done turkey.
Yeah, well, I'll let you know.
We need somebody that's doing ostriches. We could feed a block with an ostrich egg.
That would be fun. So, you know, so I think it is interesting in that, you know, coming from a family when I was young that lived on a farm, and my dad was like, he wasn't a commercial farmer, but it was soybeans, it was, you know, field corn,
right.
and our family garden, like you said, but that family garden fed us.
Right.
And my relatives, really.
You know, when I grew up as a young kid, my dad was a little country preacher, and he always had a garden because that was groceries.
Right.
That was, and then we would pick, and you would eat a lot of it fresh. Then you would can a lot of it. You would freeze a lot of it.
Exactly.
And that was groceries. I didn't buy a squash in the store until I was an adult, you know. And then when I did, I was disappointed because of the flavor. Another really exciting thing that I've learned researching for this magazine is that Little Rock is really doing a great job with the school-related educational farms.
Oh, yeah, each school has a garden now.
We're highlighting one in North Little Rock that is in with the Lakewood Middle School in North Little Rock, some freshmen from North Little Rock High School. And just Kevin Haggerty is the director up there through the People Tree here in Little Rock. And they're bringing kids out. And they're getting their hands dirty. They're learning what it takes to grow. Dunbar Community Garden is another huge one that's just, they do everything from bees to vegetables. They're growing their own hops that Vino's is using in their beer. Pulaski, North Pulaski Middle School, I believe, they have one. So you have all these things where these city kids are coming out. They're seeing what a community garden is. They're learning how to make one work.
Well, and the new Hillary Clinton Children's Museum has a garden.
Yes,
by it.
Yes, yeah. And it's just we have these plots, these small plots, right in the middle of town, where these wonderful chemical-free vegetables are being grown. And a lot of the goals of these places is to eventually. I know North Little Rock at that one, they're trying to form a mobile farmers market, where they will load up their fresh vegetables in a van. Go to some of our underserved neighborhoods that don't have a farmer's market, set up, sell the vegetables for a reasonable price, and just get this wonderful food to places where a standalone market might not have room. It's a pretty exciting project, and that's growing all the time. We're lucky to have Heifer International here in town. They are putting piles of money into sustainable agriculture. There's so many different places that are doing it right now.
Yeah, I would tell you that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I didn't know anybody that did bees, for example.
Yeah.
I know three people that do bees now, that have hives, they do honey. And, you know, some of the other things I didn't know is that there's cottage industry laws here in the state of Arkansas about, like, how much you can sell without having taxes, or how much you can actually, you know, what you can sell out of your home, or what you can sell.
Right.
I mean, like, the sausage issue that you were just telling me about, I didn't even know those laws.
Right, right. Farmers markets can't sell cooked, prepared meats. And we're sitting...
It has to be vegetarian.
It has to be vegetarian. We're sitting here in Milo Coffee Company. They had to open a storefront just to sell a sausage roll. some of
that's
the...
Okay with
well,
me.
We recently had the raw milk bill. where people, you know,
that we could actually sell raw milk.
You could sell non-pasteurized milk. Some of these laws, I understand the purpose behind them, because food safety is any farmer worth his salt will tell you food safety is key, and that's a big issue. Of course, everybody that goes to a restaurant or eats a piece of food from a farmer's market, food safety is an issue. Nobody wants to make people sick. With the rise of some very educated farmers, and these guys are not just going down to the store and buying seeds. A lot of them have traveled. The University of California at Santa Cruz, Josh Harden referred to that as the Harvard of Sustainable Agriculture. He did a program there. Mark Kane at Dripping Springs did a program there. So many people have gone through that. It's not just farming they're teaching you. They're teaching you bookkeeping, accounting, cost analysis, and also food safety.
Wow.
And so you have this whole education. It's almost like getting a doctorate in farming to really make it work. And so many of our Arkansas farmers have done these programs that they're as highly educated as a college professor about farming.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that.
And, you know, that's what I think is so exciting, is there's lots of young kids that are really getting excited about this. They're getting excited about the, you know, the possibility for people to have their own gardens and grow their own food and making it economical, even to the point where I recently saw a seed exchange.
Yes.
So people are doing seed exchanges. Totally makes sense. I mean, for sustainability, all your plants are going to go to seed for, you know, at some point. You're going to have next year's seeds.
And you have some people that I call them seed anthropologists or seed archaeologists. They go around the country and literally will go up to people's houses that have gardens and ask to look at their plants. Because what's happened is, with the middle of the 20th century, with the rise of commodity farming, a lot of the older species of everything,
tomatoes
exactly. is a big one that's made a comeback. They were replaced by these very hardy, very fast maturing, very tasteless.
It's kind of like the chickens.
Like chickens is another big example. So you have these people that are going all over the country, and what they're trying to do is, maybe somebody's grandmother is still growing this one breed of tomato that's been in the family for 100 years. She may be the only person in the country that's still doing it. They get these seeds. They start these seed exchanges. I've got this breed, you have that breed. They switch up, they propagate them, and then they spread them. When I was a kid, you go to the store, there was one tomato, a red one that tasted like a tennis ball. Now you've got Cherokee purples, you've got the Sun Gold tomatoes that are just so sweet. You've got all variety of different tomatoes. And that's even starting in our big grocery stores.
Yeah.
Kroger will put up an Arkansas-grown tomato stand where you can get some really good tomatoes. Fresh Market and Whole Foods have been in the forefront of selling Arkansas-grown and marking that it's Arkansas-grown.
What does it take for a farmer to go to a Kroger or go to one of these places and get their food in that store?
What we're hoping to do with Arkansas-grown and Arkansas Food and Farm is to put the names of the people they need to talk to in this magazine, so that if you are at the point where you feel like you can wholesale your crop, you can call that store's person in charge, you can talk to them. You can get their list of rules and regulations. Same with the farmer's market. If you want to get your food into a farmer's market, Food and Farm will have that contact where you can call the person and say, what does it take to get into your store? What does it take to get into your farmer's market? Then we begin that conversation. What that does is it lets a produce manager or a farmer's market manager know that there's this product out there. It lets the farmer know if they don't meet the standards that needed to be, it gives them the they know what to improve and work on. It's different for every store.
I was gonna say,
some stores will only accept USDA certified organic produce. That's the big one.
Yeah.
So if you're Josh Harden, for example, and I go back to him just because I spent a couple hours with him just this week, but he sells some of his seedlings at Whole Foods, and it's just started doing that. So, you know, Whole Foods in the springtime, you go up and outside, they've got that big display of small tomato plants and different. Some of those are his.
Wow.
but they will only accept them if they've been propagated using USDA certified organic means. Because that's important for them. If they put a sign up that says organic grown,
it better be.
The supplier has to produce that paperwork showing this is my certification. This is how long I've been certified. That's probably the biggest one, because they have to look at things from a marketing standpoint, and they market it as organic, so you better prove it. If somebody comes back and says prove it, they've got to prove it. Farmers markets are a little different. A lot of our farmers markets, and we're wanting to get more growers there. It's not just, you know, the grocery stores. And each one of them has different ones. A lot of them don't require the food to be certified organic. They just require it to be grown in Arkansas. They may pay a visit to your farm. So if you say, I want to sell tomatoes, cucumbers, and squash, they may send somebody, Bernie's Garden does this, they'll send somebody to your farm to see you growing those tomatoes, cucumbers, and squash.
You don't go to Sam's and pick it up.
You're not buying from a wholesale commodity farmer, coming in and undercutting everybody in the market with a product that wasn't grown here.
Right.
So that's kind of the regulation. And that's why farmers markets are so great. It's easier to get into them.
Right.
If you're growing your own food. We have such a great community of farmers market managers and farmers market people. They all know each other. They all know if something's wrong. Mark Cain says it's the same way in Fayetteville. The Fayetteville farmers market, the board of directors is made up of their growers. If there's a problem, they address it. And it's been that way since the beginning of the farmers market.
You know, I can really see that your magazine's going to benefit not just a consumer of people that want to know where organic is, or they want to know which restaurant's serving what food, but it really is. It touches the restaurant owner who says, where can I buy this? It touches the farmer who says, where can I sell this? But it touches the consumer who says, where can I eat this?
And that's the ultimate thing. Where can I eat this? If Alexis Jones at Natchez Restaurant here in town is serving laughingstock tomatoes on a salad, and she did last year, and they were wonderful when I ate there, you can go there and eat that. You can know that Matt Bell or Jeff Owen or some of our wonderful chefs are putting local meats and local produce on the menus and say, well, I want to eat that in a prepared form. Or you can come down here to Hillcrest and get Falling Sky meat frozen and ready to cook, or Farm Girl Foods, who does some excellent chickens and heirloom chickens. You can get that to cook at your own house. That's the biggest thing, is we want to bring as many people in this state together and get organic food, sustainable farming, and delicious food on their minds. And this is our attempt to bring everybody together to talk about this one subject.
So tell us what your formatting looks like. I mean, are you going to have recipes? Are you going to have what's going to be in the, besides articles about farmers and about restaurants, what's that going to look like?
For this first issue, because this is kind of our trial balloon, we tried to keep things as simple as possible. We really wanted to focus on the directory aspect of listing our farmers. So that was our number one priority, is to make sure we had the room in our magazine to include everybody that we could possibly include. We started off with a 60-page publication. I think we just bumped it to 80. So the response has been that good. And then I'm tried to get a variety of profiles that would not just be Central Arkansas. So we're doing a farm in Sheridan with you and Josh, Dripping Springs, which is in Fayetteville, the Educational Garden, and talking about the education aspect. And then there's a new farm-to-table restaurant associated with Feed Fayetteville opening in May, the Farmer's Table Cafe.
Nice.
They're not open yet, but Adrienne Schoenfield is the operator there. I've talked with her a lot. She's doing a lot of stuff, not just with cooking food and trying to sell organic food sustainably and cheaply as possible, but she also works with Feed Fayetteville. They have a gleaning program where they go to the farmers market. They say, this stuff was unsold. It's fresh now, but it won't be in a week for the next market. and they take donations or try to buy it for a reasonable price. And then they send it to their community meals where they're helping to feed the homeless and feeding hungry people.
Nice.
Or distributing it to people who are underserved with food. So that's a pretty exciting thing.
Yeah.
So we tried to cover those bases with this first issue. My ultimate goal is for in a year to look back at the first issue and say, well, wasn't that cute? Look at what we're doing now.
Wasn't that cute?
Yeah, wasn't that a nice little thing that we did? Look at this huge issue we're doing now. I would like to add that if you flip through this magazine and you think that your farm, your restaurant, your farmer's market should be in there and is not, it can be. You can contact the Arkansas Times. The best way to do it is to go to arkansasgrown.org and fill out the form there. All it is putting your name, telephone number, and a brief description. Absolutely free. I get a list of those every Friday. And you will be in the magazine. So
if
you see the first one and you say, why am I not in here? Well, get in there. I can get you in the next one for sure, 100%. So it's by no means a complete and set in stone listing. It can and will expand, and we want it to.
Oh, good.
Because we know we didn't catch everybody.
Yeah. So it's Arkansas Food and Farm coming out in May.
It should be the first week in May. I don't have an exact date yet because right now we're playing cleanup.
Yeah, so you got one in May, maybe one in July, and then so two issues this year. Hopefully, go to four to six.
Four to six next year is our goal.
Good.
I hope that we go to six.
That would be nice.
I would love to do 12, but I don't think we can pull that off quite yet.
You need a full time job,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. But next year we'll do more. Special thanks to the Arkansas Department of Agriculture, who has been a wonderful partner in this. Farm Bureau has bought advertising, so thanks to them. And thanks to everybody. If you bought an ad for this magazine, I love you and I want to shake your hand. So seriously, we couldn't do it without you.
That's fantastic. Thanks, Michael.
We're back. I'm Mary Tweed, and this is Arkansas Cooks. You can find out more about Arkansas Food and Farm at my website, arkansascooks.com, or you can go to arkansasfoodandfarms.com. Now, I've seen this publication at the grocery stores. I've seen it in Kroger's. I've seen it in newsstands all over central Arkansas. So I'm sure you can find a copy of this one. It's a great one. If you're interested in writing me, you can do that at mary@arkansascooks.com. I love to get email from you folks. I'm kind of old-fashioned. That email's still fun for me. So keep it coming. Well, that's all the time we have today for Arkansas Cooks. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank Michael Roberts and the folks at Arkansas Food and Farm. Also, thanks to Travis Hill. He makes me sound so good. This is Mary Tweet reminding all you Arkansas cooks, life is way too short to eat bad food. So only eat good food and eat it with great people that you really love. It'll taste so much better.